KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you this morning by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic.
And good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We have partly cloudy skies and 59 degrees in Atlantic. We do look for a chance of rain today and a high near 70. In the news, the Iowa Department of Public Health this morning reports 242 new positive COVID-19 tests and one additional death. The health department says 399,316 total positive tests have been recorded to date, and just under 6,000 deaths at 5,998 since the beginning of the pandemic. The state data show that more than 2.56 million vaccinations have been given in Iowa, and nearly 1.24 million vaccination series are completed. The COVID-19 positivity rate continues to mostly decline, albeit slowly. In the last 24 hours, the 14-day average dropped from 3.4 to 3.3%, and the 7-day average dropped from 3% to 2.9%. COVID-19 hospitalizations are down from 151 on Friday to 147 today. There are 42 COVID patients in an ICU. 23 were admitted, and 19 patients are currently on a ventilator. In RMCC Region 4, those hospitals in western and southwest Iowa, there are 6 patients hospitalized with COVID or symptoms of the virus. 3 people with COVID are in an ICU. There were no new admissions to area hospitals over the past 24 hours, and no one was said to be on a ventilator. There remains a single long-term care facility with a COVID-19 outbreak in the state, and that's at the Risen Sun Christian Village in Pottawatomie County, which continues to report 10 positive cases among residents and staff. Altogether, there have been 2,335 deaths reported at Iowa's long-term care facilities. The mayor of Iowa's largest city has rescinded the mask mandate he issued in Des Moines last August. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Des Moines Mayor Frank County says he is following CDC recommendations that those fully vaccinated no longer have to wear face coverings or maintain distance from others. County is encouraging residents who haven't been vaccinated to get the shot. Cedar Rapids Mayor Brad Hart says residents and visitors to Iowa's second largest city who are fully vaccinated may resume activities without wearing a mask, except in places where mask wearing is required, including local businesses and workplaces. The governor issued a statewide mask mandate in November for indoor gatherings of 25 or more people in public places, but she lifted it in early February. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The latest data on the state's coronavirus website, as we mentioned, shows over 1.2 million Iowans have had single doses of Johnson & Johnson's vaccine or both doses of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. And Iowa hospitals are currently treating some 147 people with COVID. House Speaker Pat Grassley says House Republicans aren't philosophically opposed to getting rid of a property tax levy that funds mental health services. They just have unanswered technical questions about how the state would manage the system once it's solely financed with state tax dollars. There's been no debate on the House or Senate floor this week as GOP leaders and Republican Governor Kim Reynolds negotiate in private.
We're just having those conversations to work through, seeing if there is a way to get to a level of comfort where we can all be in agreement.
Grassley is not offering a timeline for when this dispute might be ironed out among Republicans in the House and Senate, but he says having the state take over financial responsibility for the mental health system is not as simple as eliminating a property tax levy.
Anytime you have a bill that reduces the tax burdens on Iowans, I think fundamentally as Republicans, we're going to be coming from a similar place, but obviously what the language looks like in the details are very important as well.
Grassley says Governor Reynolds caught the attention of House Republicans with some of the details she outlined last week, but he says that was just a first step in finding a final agreement between Republicans in the House and the Senate. Well, in an update to our previous reports here on KJAN, an explosion at a grain elevator in Jefferson Friday morning destroyed part of the co-op and rattled homes and businesses for blocks. KCCI-TV reports Greene County Sheriff Jack Williams has confirmed the explosion at the Landis Cooperative at 1500 North Mulberry Street in Jefferson at around 8 a.m. Landis said in a statement that smoldering grain in a self-contained bin located next to the grain elevator led to the dust explosion. There were no injuries and all employees were accounted for. Neighbors around the co-op initially thought the sound and shaking were from a strong thunderstorm. Now, a similar explosion that occurred at the co-op in 1974, and that did result in fatalities. 3 workers were killed that year during the dust explosion. Employees at the site confirmed that this past Friday's blast included a close call. There was a train that was due to be loaded at the elevator shortly after the explosion took place, but the train never arrived to be in the line of danger. Landis officials said in a website post the grain continued to smolder inside the facility, and a special recovery crew was expected to handle that situation. Elsewhere in area news, Griswold School District Superintendent Dave Henricks on Friday said he was excited to announce that the Griswold CSD has selected their next middle school high school principal as Stephanie Lako. The Griswold Board of Education will approve an employment contract for her, pending the release of her contract from the Trainer School District, during the board's regular meeting scheduled for May 17th. Lako was selected to replace Billy Hyatt as the 6th through 12th grade principal. Hyatt had tendered his resignation earlier this year. He was hired for the position in April of 2020. Now, Lako's background information includes a graduate of the Northwestern College with a degree in administration and a principal endorsement. She's also a graduate of Peru State College with a degree in elementary and early childhood education. Lako's been a teacher for 11 years, 2 years in pre-K through 4K, 4 years old at kindergarten at Missouri Valley Community School District, 5 years in third grade at the Trainer Community School District. She's also been a JV varsity assistant soccer coach for 2 years at Mo Valley and JV varsity soccer coach for 3 years in Trainer. Prior to teaching in public schools, Stephanie Lako taught at the Child Saving Institute as a lead preschool teacher and the First National Child Development Center as the TWOS team leader, supervisor, and as TWOS teacher. She describes her philosophy by saying, "In my experience teaching at public schools, I've found a lens for the big picture in a school system. Creating an environment of partnership, trust, and safety for staff and students has become the most important part of her daily work. Each day," she said, "I work to ensure that I help to create a positive space that embraces all students and staff, regardless of personal preferences, race, ability, status, or position. Embracing an environment of diversity," she said, "and celebrating each unique characteristic of our students and staff has been amazing to be a part of." A strong focus on social and emotional learning and relationship building, she says, will be central to her leadership style. And you can read more on the same page, or same story on the news page at KJN.com. Lako said that, "I'm looking forward to becoming part of the Griswold family and meeting all the wonderful families in the area." Well, the Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported two injury accidents had taken place last week and three people were arrested over the past week, as we mentioned earlier. Authorities say at around 7:32 p.m. on May 7th, Cass County deputies responded to an accident on 750th Street south of Anita. Curtis Tucker of Prescott was driving a pickup northbound when the vehicle for some reason crossed the southbound lane and entered the west ditch. In the ditch, it struck a field entrance and came to rest in a field. Tucker was taken to CCMH by Cass County EMS for treatment of minor injuries. His vehicle sustained $10,000 damage. And as we had reported to you last week, at around 1:50 a.m. on Saturday, May the 8th, Cass County deputies responded to a semi-tractor-trailer accident on Interstate 80 at 66 mile marker. Officials say Ryan Lochner of Genoa, Nebraska, was driving the semi eastbound on I-80. When a blown tire caused him to lose control, the tractor-trailer crossed the median and rolled onto its side into the north ditch. Lochner suffered minor injuries and had been transported to the Cass County Hospital by Cass County EMS. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.
KJAN News has been brought to you this morning by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic.